Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. God's word reads as follows. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you recall from time back in Revelation 4, the Apostle John is taken up by the Holy Spirit in a vision of heaven. And there in heaven, he sees God seated on the throne. And what he sees in this vision defies all human description and is only described to us figuratively. Our God, the invisible God, transcends all human thought, images, and understanding. Even the heavens of heavens cannot contain the glory of our God. The glory of God is portrayed here in all the radiance and splendor of precious gemstones, with a rainbow encircled around the throne. And from the throne proceed lightning, thunders, and many voices. And the throne is set upon what appears to be a glassy crystal sea. And there in heaven, he sees all these people, these creatures, singing, praising God, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. In reverence and awe, they bow before him who's seated on the throne in adoration and in worship. They take off their golden crowns and lay it before his throne. Congregation, doesn't that make you just long for heaven? The sheer beauty and splendor of it all. The glory of the Lord, that the earth cannot even contain it. The perfection of heaven. The heavenly choir. Worship perfected. Now here in chapter 5, John's grand vision of heaven continues as God is seen holding a sealed scroll in his right hand. But what is the scroll? What does it contain? Why is John weeping? Why is Jesus the only one who can open this scroll? What is the response of heaven at the opening of this scroll? Well, let's proceed to answer these questions this morning under the theme, Worthy is the Lamb, noting first of all the scroll, secondly the Lamb, and thirdly the doxology of praise. First in verse 1, if you follow along in your Bibles, And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. God is pictured here in all his glory, seated as the one on the throne, and in his right hand, he's holding this scroll. Remember again, congregation, that John is speaking here figuratively, isn't he? When referring to God is actually sitting on a throne, holding a scroll in his right hand. God, of course, is spirit. He is the invisible God. He doesn't have a body like you and I. Why is God holding this scroll in his right hand? Well, the right hand of God symbolizes his authority, his power, his sovereignty. But notice that the writing on the scroll is on the inside as well as on the back. Somewhat unusual. But every square inch of that scroll is being used up. Everything that needs to be written is contained on both sides of the scroll. No details are omitted. Nothing that needs to be said is left unsaid. The fact that the scroll is now sealed with 7 seals, the number of completion reiterates its completeness. Nothing can be added, changed, or deleted. And now, only the person authorized to open the scroll is the one who may open it. If the seals are broken, it would indicate that the scroll has been tampered with. But the 7 seals remain firmly intact. Question is, what's on the scroll? Well, God's purpose for giving John this glimpse into heaven is revealed back in chapter 4, verse 1. Come up here and I will show you the things which must take place after this. The scroll, congregation, represents the decrees. It represents the secret will of a sovereign God concerning the events which are to unfold in the course of redemptive history. The scroll is God's script written already when? From eternity, from before the foundation of the world, that contains the wonderful story of God's plan of salvation. The scroll contains every minute detail of everything and everyone that exists in heaven or on earth. It contains every last detail of every event that is to take place, that is to transpire in the universe. Joel Beakey, in his commentary on Revelation, writes, he says, The scroll is God's comprehensive, detailed, unchangeable plan for his creation. From the falling of a hair from your head, dear believer, to the latest world-shaking events reported in today's news, everything is on that scroll. The destinies of every atom in the earth, as well as the mighty galaxies of the cosmos, are all there. I don't know, congregation, that we can fully comprehend or even fully appreciate enough the significance of the content of that scroll. God's sovereignty, his providence, absolutely everything that's been ordained by our sovereign God from eternity on that scroll. Then remember, our God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God is immutable, never changing, nor do his decrees ever change. God is infinite. He's not dependent upon anything or anyone else. God is perfect in all wisdom, in all that he decrees, and all that he wills. As it says in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Yeah, admittedly, God's ways are beyond our human comprehension, aren't they? And admittedly, we don't always understand. And if we're honest, we don't always necessarily like it. Why does a child die while still in the womb? Why does a 1.5-year-old infant drown in a swimming pool? Why does a young man fall to his death from a silo? Why the death of a young father or mother in the prime of life? Why cancer? Why MS, ALS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's? Why all the sin, the evil and wickedness in this world? Why COVID-19? Why is the church being persecuted? Also here in this country. Why? A lot of unanswered questions. And yet, listen to what God tells the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I called you out of this world of darkness into my marvelous light. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Was Jeremiah saying? God wrote the script not only for the prophet Jeremiah, but for your and my lives. And then in Jeremiah 29:11, Judah's about to be taken into Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and God comforts his covenant children. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. 70 years of Babylonian captivity. I say, God wrote that script for the children of Israel, Judah. Come what may, we have that reassuring promise that's found in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Yes, all things, not just some things, not just the so-called good things, but all things, God assures us, will work to our good to those who love him. How? Congregation, admittedly, we don't always know how. But by faith, we know he will. Why? Because God says so. And precisely because God authored the script, our confession in Lord's Day 9 says, I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, in life and in death, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. And then in Romans 8:37-39, that whole entire chapter is just a beautiful, beautiful chapter. And then we have that wonderful promise, that blessed assurance that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because God wrote the script. He has a preordained plan for your life, for mine, for the church, for the world. As it says in Lord's Day 10, we can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from His love. All creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will, they can neither move nor be moved. Beloved of the Lord, what possibly could be more comforting to us as God's children? That God wrote the script for your and my life. What can be more comforting to know that absolutely everything, and we mean everything, everything in the entire universe unfolds according to that script? The story of redemptive history that God ordained will come to fruition. How do we know? God's the author. He wrote the script. Yes, even the evil. How do I know? God turned the greatest evil ever perpetrated by man, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the greatest good. Our salvation. John is given a glimpse into heaven and he sees God in all his glory, all his splendor, seated on the throne and his right hand. He's holding a scroll sealed with seven seals, containing the complete history of redemptive history, the history of you and I. Every event, every detail in his hand. His right hand. The hand of power, supremacy, sovereignty. There in his hands are all the details. The details of creation, man's fall, and our redemption in Christ Jesus. Every single detail. Nothing is missing. Every square inch of that seal, of that scroll, is filled. But notice how John responds in verses 2 to 4. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. The reality of that vision, congregation, is so real to the Apostle John that he's actually weeping. We say, but why? Because there's no one worthy anywhere in the entire universe to open the seals and to put into action the decrees and the will of the sovereign God. Sinful man does not have the power to execute God's good and perfect plan. We are but mere sinful creatures, and no mere creature can accomplish God's plan of salvation in and of themselves. Salvation came by way of the eternal, sinless Son of God coming to earth and taking upon himself our human nature to die our death, to pay the penalty for your and my sin. No mere creature can bring the kingdom of God to fight against the wiles of Satan, to overcome the powerful forces of darkness, bringing redemptive history to its glorious climax, leading to Christ's return and the resurrection of the dead and the coming judgment. It's impossible. So John weeps. Why? No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth is found worthy to open the scroll, to even look at it. But then secondly, John's weeping is soon turned to joy. Thankfully, there is someone qualified to open the seals and to execute God's good and perfect plan. In verses 5 to 7 we read, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Not only is Jesus worthy to open the scroll and able to execute God's plan of salvation to its completion, but here, congregation, that reality is couched in terms of Jesus' messianic glory, isn't it? Jesus is the only one worthy to open the seal. He's described as the Lion of Judah that's foretold in Genesis 49:10. Jesus is the only one worthy to open the seal who is of the Root of David prophesied in Isaiah 11. Yes, he alone is worthy. He is the one who obtained victory over sin, death, and hell by his atoning death on Calvary's cross and by his glorious resurrection from the dead. He's the one who's now seated at the right hand of God the Father, to whom all authority in heaven and on earth has been given. Yes, he is the reigning King of glory. He is the one who will make his enemies his footstool. He is the one who at the end will deliver his kingdom to his heavenly Father. Christ is the one worthy, not because of what is yet to come, but because of the cross, because of the empty tomb, because of his ascension into heaven, where he is the King of glory. He alone is worthy, worthy to open the seal. He alone can execute it to perfection. As the elder says to John then, "Do not weep," he says to the church of today, "Do not weep." Why? Worthy is the Lamb. The Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, congregation, will not only prevail, we will not just merely survive, but the church will be victorious. The church militant, with all its struggles, with all its trials, with all its opposition, will be the church triumphant. Behold the Lamb. We read Revelation 5 and we say, a slain lamb. Certainly doesn't look like a picture of victory. But this Lamb of God is the one who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the mighty conquering king. He is the promised Messiah, the Root of David. He is the victor, the conqueror. He alone is worthy to open the scroll. And sure enough, in verse 7 we read, "Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sits on the throne." Jesus comes to the Father, as it were, and he takes the scroll. What does it mean? Redemptive history, the story of salvation, is in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is the one to whom all authority in heaven and earth has been given. And with the scroll in his hands, he will execute God's plan of redemptive history. It means redemptive history will unfold. How? According to God's script. It means, congregation, that our lives, your and my lives, are in the hands of Jesus Christ, the one who laid down his life on a cross, who will bring to fruition everything that God ordained to be. God's plan for the universe, God's plan for your and my life is with who? Is with our Lord Jesus Christ. The scroll is in the hands of who? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. The third, Jesus takes the scroll in heaven, breaks forth in a jubilant song. Why? Because worthy is the Lamb. Why? Because He alone will bring redemptive history to its completion. As noted by the Apostle Paul in Philippians, therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. No person, no angel, no creature, any place, anywhere will keep silent. Every tongue, every knee will bow. And the first doxology that we hear in this passage in Revelation 5 is sung by the church, represented by the four living creatures and the 24 elders. And what are they singing? Look at verses 9 to 10. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. What's the church singing? Church is singing the songs, the Psalms of Zion. The church sings of her redemption in Christ Jesus. And congregation, there is no greater joy, no greater comfort than the reality that I am not my own, but belong body and soul and life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. Did you hear the singing in heaven? Singing of our redemption. Comfort? Yeah. Worthy is the Lamb. But then the heavenly choir gets even bigger. And the singing gets even louder. And now the angels, the innumerable amount of angels, burst forth in song of praise. And John describes the size of this choir of angels as 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Congregation, can you imagine the wow factor in hearing a choir of innumerable, so great a number of angels they cannot be counted, who join together with the church in praising God and giving glory to Him. In verse 12 we read, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and blessing. The angels that sang in the hill country of Judea at the birth of Christ continue their song of praise in heaven. And then the heavenly choir gets even bigger. And the singing gets even louder as now all of creation, every creature joins in rendering to God all praise, glory, and honor that He is worthy to receive. In verse 13 we read, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever. I don't know if we can comprehend it. The church, the angels, every living creature on the face of the earth, united in joyful song in praise to the glory and honor of God and to the Lamb. What a joyous celebration. What a tremendous response. And then notice how this portion of the vision ends, verse 14. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. There's that little word, Amen. So shall it surely be. The church gives out her shout, Amen. Why? Because the scroll, the script written by God is in the hands of Jesus. And that reality, that wonderful plan of salvation is a surety, a guarantee. With the scrolls in the hands of Jesus, redemptive history will run its course to its completion according to the script written by God himself. And so in the midst, congregation, in the midst of all our earthly struggles and sorrows, in the midst of all our trials and tribulations, in the midst of all the changes and whatever our earthly circumstances, let us not despair. Let us not be dismayed. Let us never give up hope. Why? Who's holding the scroll? Who wrote it? Let's always remember that that scroll is in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus will execute God's preordained script to its completion, to its perfection. Therefore, we proceed. How? Not in fear, but by faith. And looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we join with the heavenly choir, rendering to God and to the Lamb all praise, glory, and honor. Amen.